Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geek Actually. Where's my headphones? There they are. Geek Actually, episode 132 for the 21st of May, 2011. And Josh, we're still here.
And as you pointed out before the show, it's technically not the end of today yet, so we can't say that we're not going to die yet. But if you're listening to this on podcast, we're okay.
We're okay. Now, we'll explain this. First of all, I'm Dave McVeigh. This is Josh Philpott.
Oh, yeah. Hey.
This is Geek Actually. This is our weekly Geek Out where we talk about tech and weirdness and strangeness and food and anything else that catches our eye. And we can basically just be geeks for an hour or so. Now, what we are talking about, of course, is that there is a radical, and my information is not at my fingertips here, so I can't tell you who they are, but there is a radical Christian group in America, of course, who actually believe that they have done the math and from the Bible, and they've worked out that May 21st, 2011 is Armageddon, and this is the day that the world ends. Well, I'm here to tell you that it is May 21st, and the world hasn't ended yet. Now, there is still a lot of May 21st to go.
There's the whole, you know, biblical strike down from heaven kind of thing where there's no way we could predict it, and apparently, according to the chat room, it's 6 o'clock. P.M. It's supposed to all go down.
Okay, well, 6 o'clock p.m. is only 6 hours from now. And now, for our American listeners, this is actually even more interesting because for our American listeners, it's not the 21st yet.
Yeah.
So for our American listeners, if you are coming in live from America right now, I'm here to tell you that it is the 21st. It's bright and sunny in the day, and the world is still here at this point. So at 6 p.m. tonight, if you are listening to this as an audio podcast, that means you've downloaded it on the 22nd our time, 21st American. Mm-hmm. So if you're listening to it on the 21st in America, which will be when it comes out, it's actually the 22nd here in Australia, and we're still here.
And we will make you a deal that if for some weird reason that the apocalypse does come at 6 p.m. our time in Geek Actually kind of a world, what we will do is Dave will actually put a post up, so at least you'll know it's coming.
That's right.
So basically like 5:59 we'll be like, well, it's all done.
At
we're
6
over.
O'clock tonight, I will put a post up saying we're still here. Okay. How's that sound?
Sounds great.
All right.
Or now, not, as the case may be.
Now, I'm just looking. Sorry, I was looking kind of inquisitive there for a minute. Our audio listeners have no idea what I'm talking about. But I'm looking at, have you seen the background to this shot lately? It seems to be getting further and further, listing further over.
Why is that?
I don't know. I think we should do the whole show like this.
Is the camera on a tilt?
I think, looking at the camera, it's crooked. I think the tripod has been bumped sometime during the week.
And hooray!
The entire background looks like we're on the Titanic. So, yeah, it's kind of freaky.
I love it.
All right, let's get on with the show. What do you reckon? All right. First of all, this week, I have to say that we do have impending robot apocalypse news, which I always...
Oh, man,
oh,
wait, it's
been
a while.
Where's... Jumping the gun there, dude.
Let's try going back to feedback.
Let's try going back. Now, feedback is very light this week, so we can relax a little bit. I do have this one feedback, though, that I thought you might really like to hear.
Yeah.
Hey, guys. This is from our friend James from Melbourne. He says, hey, guys, just wanted to let you know about the morning I had with Madison. If you remember last week.
I got this email, too. Yeah.
He says, well, she got up at 6 to open presents. Oh, my God, I was tired. I know that feeling. It's like that every Christmas morning here. She loved all the things she got, but she didn't give me that big smile. You know, the kind of smile that as much as they try, they can't take it off their face. It was only on the way to school when she heard you guys say happy birthday that she got that big, cheesy smile. She was so thrilled. You guys did that. Thank you. You made a little girl's 10th birthday just perfect. Sincerely, James from Melbourne. I think that is just lovely. And happy birthday again, Madison. Now, that's for the Film Actually show. And this is a feedback which is actually directly related to our first story, which is the impending robot apocalypse. It's from Tristan, who says, hey, guys, I found this link about how they have robots teaching each other their own language.
This is amazing.
I know. It's terrifying. That's all we need, robots scheming against the human race in their own language.
It's great because it's a dialogue we haven't taught them, so therefore
we don't understand
it.
Yeah,
that's
it's good.
Great.
Since soon they'll be making their own codes that we can't decipher. And he sent a link. But we already had the link because Delta Knight sent it through as well. So we're going to talk about this link. Now, what link did he send through? He sent the same link. It's from Gizmodo. Okay, so Gizmodo is reporting on these robots. Now, these robots are called Lingodroids. And look, they're just little boxes on wheels, really. I mean, that's all they are, right?
At this stage.
At this stage. Now, what's terrifying about this is that what happens is with these droids is they're trained to basically make up a language.
Yeah.
So a droid goes to a corner and says to itself, I'm in Chazbot, let's say, yeah. right? What are you doing?
I'm trying to make myself feel a little bit less.
I'll relax. So say it goes into a corner and says, I must be in Chazbot. Then another robot right. comes along and says, where are you? He says, I'm in Chazbot. So the yeah. robot goes, okay, this must be Chazbot. There, a word has been made.
Yeah.
Right? And this goes on and on. They teach each other a language based on the experiences that they have. This is terrifying because we have no point of reference to it, which means we don't know that language. Mm. And when they start saying, let's go kill the humans in their own language, we're not going to know they're saying it.
Yes, this is true.
So,
and it's terrifying.
I think the more we make these droids intelligent, the scarier this becomes.
Oh, for sure.
It's not about robots carving meat and stuff that we always make jokes about. This is the terrifying stuff.
Oh,
this
yeah.
is where we start giving them a sense of place in artificial intelligence.
Yep. But you know what? With the amount of steps that we're making towards stuff that's going to probably cause the apocalypse, I think, you know, like, we've brought this stuff on ourselves.
Now, as an antidote to the Lingo droids, yep. I do have this. This was a video sent through, once again, Delta Knight, a.k.a. David Murray, who is our moderator in our chat room, although he won't be around very long today, sends us our show links, and he finds all the weirdest and wonderful yep. stuff on the net. He did send us this, and I thought this was just charming because this really was the antidote. This is Luna. And now the video goes on for quite some time. We're just going to play it in the background because there's no talking. It's just music. But I love the music they have put to this. It's so dramatic. And basically, they are saying their catch line at the end is one of these household droids in every house by, you know, 2021 or whatever it is that they're saying at the end. But the point is that if you look at this video that I'm playing in the background here, this is Luna. Now, the thing that gets me about this droid is that apparently it's the most useless robot ever designed because it doesn't actually do anything.
It looks like an iPod headphone.
It has these flimsy little wire arms, and the video is all out of focus. Can I also point that out, which I thought was just charming, that it's obviously shot in some guy's back, you know, some guy's living room. And the droid is this really dorky-looking thing that looks like it's from Rocky... What was the one where he got the robot? Rocky IV, where he gets the robot, remember? He gets, like, the household robot. It was really stupid. But anyway, it looks a lot like that. It has these two things that look like arms but have no pincers or hands, so they're useless. And all it can seem to do is roll around the room.
Maybe... No, I got nothing. What the fuck is that for?
And now what I love is, as the video goes on, which we're not going to play this whole video, because, I mean, put it this way, it's been going far too long already, and it still goes for another minute and a half.
Right.
And I've already abridged it. So it's a really long video that just has this stupid-looking thing rolling around a room. But what I love about it...
Admittedly, it's like the sort of shape and style that I would imagine a robot, like the first generation of household robots would look like.
In the 1980s.
What would you want it to look like now? I don't want it looking like a person.
It's going to look like the Angel of Death. Yeah. All right. Now, okay, so he gets to show us that it has a circuit board. Woohoo! Okay. What I love about this video is that at the very end of this video, it goes rolling out of the room and runs into the wall. And then backs up and then goes to the door. You sit there and go, oh dear. So this is Luna, the world's most useless robot. And all I can think is, if that's the robot that's going to try and do the robot apocalypse, we're safe.
Yeah. If that's the robot we're going to, we're never going to get robots in our household.
Delta 9 in our chat room says, if the eyes glow red, fucking run. All right, so that was Luna, the most useless robot. Let's move on, because I think the news on everybody's lips this week has got to be the PlayStation Network still. Now, I actually put in the show notes good news about the PlayStation Network, and of course, since writing the show notes, some things have cropped up.
Yeah.
All right, so let's start by saying PlayStation Network is back in Australia.
Yeah.
It's back, okay?
There is no store access.
No, the right store now. Access isn't supposed to come back until May 24th or something like that, but
right.
that may have been delayed now because of a situation that has occurred. Now, start off with the good news. PlayStation Network came back, but they said that they've redesigned the whole password system, so everybody has to change their password.
Yep.
So the first thing you have to do is go in and change your password, and then everything is kosher, and you're all happy,
which
right?
I did, yep.
Great. Excellent. Now, they also offered massive, I use air quotes, massive incentive schemes to get you to come back to their network. and Josh and I have differing opinions on this. Gizmodo is reporting, and I have their quote here. It says, all existing PlayStation Network members will be able to access the following from the PlayStation Store, which, mind you, is not back yet. All right, but when it comes back, two PlayStation 3 games from the following list. Little Big Planet, Infamous, Wipeout HD, Ratchet and Clank, or Dead Nation. Okay? Yeah. So you can have a choice of two of those. Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
Or for those on the PSP accounts, you're eligible to download two PSP games, including Little Big Planet, Mod Nation, Pursuit Force, or Killzone Liberation.
Which is funny because I own 3 out of 4 of those games.
Okay. You'll also get 30 days free PlayStation Plus membership for non-PS Plus subscribers. Existing PlayStation Plus subscribers will be given 60 days free. For existing Music Unlimited subscribers, you'll be given 30 days free subscription, and they're also still working on other incentives. And all I can say is this is way too complicated as far as I'm concerned. Josh and I kind of disagree. I kind of agree with the Apple model in this sense, which was Apple had problems with Mobile Me, and they made it really easy. They basically said, shit, we've been down for, I think it was on and off a month they had problems with Mobile Me when they first launched it, and they just turned around and said, everybody who's a Mobile Me subscriber gets 3 months free.
Yeah.
And they just gave it away, right? When iPhone 1 came out, the original iPhone, way back in the day, before Australia ever got it, after 3 months of it being in release, Apple dropped the price by $100.
Yeah.
And normally in a situation of technology, you would say you're an early adopter, suck it up, you know? What is it? Suck it up, princess, you know? But Apple turned around and said, no, anybody who's got an iPhone 1, you bought it full price, here's a $100 credit at the Apple store for you, right? So I kind of like that idea. It's kind of like, you're the end user, you deserve it, right?
Yeah.
Sony's made this really complicated. I don't understand why they don't just say, here's a $50 credit. Use it in the Sony store for Sony products, any Sony product you want, right? And that's it. You're done.
Yeah. That'd be great. But this is Sony's mentality in a nutshell, is that they're just shit at doing this stuff. It's like they always believe they have the right way of doing things. They always think that, there is no outside help.
Hmm.
They're like that annoying guy that that just bumbles constantly and just won't accept help from anyone. And it's just really annoying. And when we get to the next story...
Yeah. Okay, so that was what we were going to talk about. Now, I also have a perspective story here from CNET. Once again, Dave Murray, thank you very much. And we'll just before we talk about the bad news of the day, let's just talk about this perspective story really quickly. I will once Goodreader opens it. But basically, there's an article on CNET that is talking about the fact that, okay, PlayStation went down. This is terrible. Mm. But before you all overreact, let's not forget that nothing is 100% unhackable. Let's not forget that nothing is 100% perfect on the internet.
Damn right.
It's all custom cars. Mm-hmm. Things happen. Outages happen, right?
Yep. Absolutely.
And Josh and I have no problem with that concept at all, and it's completely understandable. PlayStation,
I don't hold them personally responsible.
Not
for
at
that.
All. What I hold them responsible for is their way that they've handled it.
Mm.
That's the issue. And different companies handle things like this in different ways. Sony has handled this entire thing incredibly badly. And I think other companies, let's face it, Microsoft has not handled things well in the past. Apple has also not handled things well in the past. They've kept the whole AntennaGate thing was a great example of how, not to handle a situation. And this article is not loading, so I won't be able to tell you about it directly. But anyway, CNET, the link will be in the show notes and you'll be able to read that. The bottom line is it's about how you treat people. It's about how you deal with the situation.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Now, for those who have been keeping up with the PlayStation Network news, know that the PlayStation Network is back up in most countries, except Japan.
Yeah.
Japan turned around. The Japanese government turned around and said, until you prove to us that you have actually locked this thing down, you are forbidden from starting up again here in Japan. And they may have had a point.
Yeah.
Because...
Looks like it.
Yeah, it looks like it. Because what we're talking about today, and these, we literally just pulled these articles up right before the show. Somebody asked us what we do in the setup process.
Mm.
We sometimes find stuff like this. I was listening to Buzz Out Loud this morning, and now I'm actually a couple of episodes back. So it was actually about Thursday's news. I think it was Wednesday or Thursday's news. And they said, oh, Sony's in trouble again. And my ears pricked up, and I went, hang on, we're doing Sony stories. What's going on here?
Yeah.
So I immediately went and looked into this, and Josh and I found a couple of articles that we thought were really interesting. Because the first article we found, we went, oh, is that what it is? And we looked at the dates and said, oh, this is actually something else. So... let's backtrack this to May 18th.
Yeah.
And let's say on May 18th, apparently Sony was hacked again. Now, I want, and we're opening the phone lines right now, I want anybody who is a PlayStation user and has been stung by this particular problem to call in and help us out, okay? Because we really only just discovered this.
Yeah.
Apparently, Sony fixed the back end, changed the passwords and all this stuff, but they never fixed the front end. Now, apparently they were hacked again on the 18th, and according to this article, now this could have changed, this is why I want people to call in. According to this article, if you try and go do your password change now to get back on the network, you can't at the moment. They've closed it down again. Now, the network is up, but the part where you change your password is down. What they've said is that the actual authentication process where you say, I've lost my password, and you need to change your password, asks you for your email and your date of birth. Now, normally this wouldn't be a problem because if, you know, you get into this part, you need to have those pieces of details. What was stolen in that first hack, Josh?
In the first hack?
Yeah, you know, the big hack, when they actually stole everything.
You would be talking about the passwords
and the date of births and the email addresses and all the personal details, right? Uh-huh. So what's happened is people have actually started to use those personal details to go in and change people's passwords and get back access in. And it's causing a bit of a problem. So Japan may have had an issue. They may have had the right idea about saying to Sony, you haven't quite proven that you have securely lock this thing down because there's too much information still out there.
Yeah, they're too eager to get back online. Take this shit offline for 6 months if you have to. Just don't fucking let people get their accounts hacked, man. You're in a dangerous position. Yes, people want your shit back online. Yes, you're probably going to lose a market share, but man, you are going to be royally fucked if you start getting people's money stolen.
I should mention, you know, we just said that everybody should call in and tell us your experiences. Maybe we should actually tell you who you can call in to, huh? Our Skype number is 02-8011-3167. That is a Sydney number, or you can just Skype us at Geek Actually, all one word. And so please do call in if you are a PlayStation member and have had more troubles. And while we're waiting for anybody to call, please do call if you can. We will continue on with this and say that a second hack happened. It's like a bad joke. It really is. All right. So now, while we were searching for that article, now I can't seem to find my article. What's going on here? Ah, there it is. Okay. While we were searching for what happened on the 18th, we came across this. Somebody in our chat room, James from Melbourne, says, 6 months? Are you fucking crazy, Josh? yes, and Freak says, but they got email addresses. That's why they have to figure out some other way to authenticate.
And I'm sorry, dude, but in my opinion, it's like I would rather have 6 months of no PlayStation Network and get another console or trade in and get rid of that console than have 2 years of my shit being stolen.
It's true. That's true. Now, on the 20th of this month, as in yesterday, Sony was hacked twice in one day.
Yeah.
Now, this is the one that really kind of, Josh and I just looked at him and went, pardon? Now, this was actually a phishing scam. Mm. Now, according to this article that is on the Toy Box at ZDNet, it says, they can't seem to catch a break, but it says F-Secure Security Lab first discovered a phishing site that was hiding on the Sony Thailand homepage and stored on a Sony server this morning. It seems the malicious site was posing as an Italian credit card company, Cartasi, to try and collect personal data from unsuspecting users. Apparently, somebody got, they broke into the account. It says, oh, sorry, the second attack. After they discovered that phishing attack, the second attack, however, was from, reported by Reuters, Sonet, the internet provider of Sony Japan, alerted customers that an intruder has broken into the system and stolen virtual points from an account from account holders worth $1,225. So people are getting in.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
well, James from Melbourne was saying that there was a $15 amount of money taken out from PlayStation Network from his account. So there you go. We have local as well.
Okay, so it's actually, it is local because they said Australia wasn't affected, remember?
Now, yeah, for people that haven't, like I said, we don't know at this stage whether or not it's the case, but try to go in and change your password now. If it's still down, relax, that's a good thing. It means that you can't get access. But the second that the password is available, get in and change it. Because yes. It's like everything else, you can do later on. You can, you know, download, you can update, change your password, get rid of your things, change your credit card, whatever. But if you don't change that password, they can get access to your money. So please, public service announcement, go out and change your password if you can.
Okay, so remember, once again, 02-801-13167, or our Skype ID is geek, actually, all one word. The phone lines are open. Skype line is open. Feel free to call. We're going to continue on, but if you are one of those people who is a Sony user and you want to get in touch with us, please do so, okay? The other big piece of news this week. So first of all, I'm going to move on from Sony, but I mean, all I'm going to say about Sony at this point is Sony needs to get its shit together fast. I think they need to just shut it down.
Yeah.
And work on it for a little while. I think there's a problem with the... I think what's happening is they're trying...
Bye, Delta.
Bye-bye, Delta. See you later, Delta. The problem, I think, with Sony at the moment is they're so desperate to get back on, they're trying to cut corners and say, fix this part, leave this part. They need to rewrite ground up all the way to the top level.
Seems like it.
And just rebuild. Because there's too much at stake. They've got a music service. They've got a film service. They've got the PlayStation Network. They've got Sony Online Entertainment. They need to stop, shut it all down, rebuild it from ground up.
Damn right.
In the long run, and they need to keep people informed as to what's going on.
Damn right. No. It's getting a bit ridiculous.
It
now.
Is. All I can say at this point, though, is that while they're busy attacking Sony, they're not attacking Xbox. So I'm happy.
For now.
All right, let's move on to slightly more local news and say that the NBN, or the National Broadband Network, is in the news this week because apparently it went live this week in Armadale. So it's not quite here yet, but it is live. It is. We do have reportage yeah. of live NBN traffic happening. All right.
There you go. Yeah, because I noticed that a couple of companies now have it up on their website.
Yes, yes. Yeah. They're all starting to take pricing. Now, the Gizmodo has a wonderful article that's basically entitled, What Happened with the NBN This Week? Yeah. All right. First of all, Telstra has announced that they're doing a big old improvement to their ADSL 2 Plus network, and they're doing this. And all I can think is, why? Isn't that kind of like antiquated? Why wouldn't they be concentrating on, you know, what's coming rather than what's there?
Well,
apparently there is an IT skills shortage, which is going to hurt the NBN. If you are a network specialist, I would suggest you look into them for a job at the moment. Apparently they have a shortage of good skilled people.
Sweet.
What this article says, you want accountability? You got accountability. NBN Co. now has to appear before a government committee at least twice a year, starting next Monday. Leading the committee is none other than independent MP Rob Oakeshott, who is one of the people who holds the balance of power. So they're going to have to report everything that they're doing, which is good. $18.2 billion, which is what the government committed to injecting into the NBN over the next 4 years. According to this week's budget, next financial year will consist of $3.1 billion of that amount that we've committed. And so, you know, it's moving on. So it's good. It says mom and dad investors can help fund the NBN through government bonds. Boy, this sounds like wartime. Let's go buy bonds, you know?
That's crazy.
So, yes, you can now invest if you I love the way Gizmodo reports. They said if you didn't have a mortgage and kids to feed, you'd probably be totally right in there doing it. It's like, all right. Google has started sponsoring the University of Melbourne's Institute of Broadband Enabled Society, or the IBES, which is researching the apps and services that we can use on superfast FTTH broadband. So that's very interesting. It says hopefully a Google Music Australian launch is one of their findings. We'll see. And this week, Tony Abbott, our opposition leader, continued to his tirade against the NBN, basically saying it's a waste of money. And as they pointed out in Gizmodo, tedious calls for a cost-benefit analysis, saying something over and over and over again doesn't make it true, Tony. Okay? And I agree with that logic completely. Now, come on, good reader. Don't play up with me. Now, that was what's happening this week. Live in Armadale, it actually fired up this little video online. If you followed the link, it actually is like a little promotional video saying, look, less aren't we good? But the fact is, if it's live in Armadale, it's coming soon. All right?
Exactly.
So it's coming. Now, the other thing that I wanted to talk about was Stephen Conroy this week actually made sense. And it's very rare for me to say this, so I have to give Stephen Conroy credit where I can give him credit.
We beat him up a lot, so when he does something right, we need to talk about
it. And I've always said Stephen Conroy knows nothing about internet security, he knows nothing about censorship, and he should really stay out of all that, but he does know the NBN. This is a man who has been right on the forefront of the NBN. So according to this article in news.com.au, and we've been criticized for using news.com.au, but no, this is local news. I'm going to use news.com.au for this one. It says, Communications Minister Stephen Conroy has rubbished the opposition claims. Now, this is those Tony Abbott claims that it all costs too much money and blah, blah, blah. He basically came out, and I've got to say, some of his comments are fantastic. He says, you can deliver very, very fast broadband for at least... Oh, sorry, this is Malcolm Turnbull, who is the opposition communications minister, turned around and said, you can deliver very, very fast broadband for at least half the cost, if not more, of fiber to the home. Basically, what they're arguing is it should be fiber to nodes and then copper to the house, right? Which for me, okay, that's going to be very fast, but that defeats the purpose of putting all that fiber out there. If you want fiber speeds, get fiber speeds. You're going to bottleneck on those coppers,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure.
Stephen Conroy came out, and this is the quote. He said, Malcolm knows that as new applications are invented over the next 3 to 5 years, you cannot deliver the quality of service, you cannot give equivalent service to residents in Armidale if you build a fiber to the node network. And it's so true. What he's basically saying is they're building infrastructure in Australia at this point. At this moment in time, there may not be a huge need for fiber to the house, but in 5 years, we may need fiber to the house.
And it's like, do we spend the money now or do we wait 5 years?
Or do we build the wrong infrastructure and then spend more money rebuilding the infrastructure
later?
Fixing
it and then getting more abuse from the people that didn't think this was a great idea in the first place.
Absolutely. And the bottom line is, if you're going to do it right the first time. Build that fiber out. Freak in our chat room says he is never right. He is right in this case. I'm sorry, he is right. If you're going to build an infrastructure, you build the infrastructure, the best infrastructure you can. Let's not forget digital television. All right, digital television in this country is a mess. Why is it a mess? Because the government, run under the Howard government, the government invited all the top TV people together in a summit, basically said, we need to come up with a digital television plan for Australia. Tell us your thoughts. They got together and they worked out the best digital scheme to go out in Australia, which unfortunately was also an expensive scheme. And there was two options. One was the British option, which is not scalable, basically. Or there was the one where they said, if we do this, this is going to last us forever, right? The Howard government said, thank you for your thoughts, and then went with the cheap option, right? And everybody said, why ask our opinions if that was what you were going to do with anyway? You know, and that's the problem, is that rather than sit there and have these summits and say, what's the best way to do it? Look at it, get in the people who know what they're talking about, say, let's future-proof our system, you know? And that's what we're doing with the NBN. We're future-proofing, all right? Fiber, one of Malcolm Turnbull's arguments has been that fiber will be out of date in 10 years. Well, fiber has been around for an awful long time. We don't have anything faster than light. Right now. I'm sorry. You know, it's like, I can't think of anything faster than light at this point. Can you?
No.
So,
that
you
seems
know,
pretty good.
Anyway, Freak says that he's sorry for that outbreak. He knows he just can't stand him. And I agree. I can't stand the man either. And I've had many, 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 many complaints about Stephen Conroy in the past. Anybody who listens to this show knows that I have laid it out on him in the past. But I have to give him credit on this one. I'm sorry. All right, so that's the NBN. Let's get on to the other stuff. This is everything else, all right? We mix it all together and basically say, did you know that illegal streaming? Now, this affects us. We are streaming, right? Now, we're not illegally streaming at this point, but illegal streaming could land you in jail in the future. There is a bill in front of the American House at the moment that is basically saying that streaming illegal content is not a felony at this point. It'll slap you with a fine and all this sort of stuff. The felony charges are actually, if you look at their way it's worded, is about downloading at this point. Streaming doesn't fall into that category. They want to change that bill so that if you get caught streaming, you can actually face jail time. It's going to become a felony to stream. Now, when we talk about streaming, we're talking about all those services out there where they say, hey, for $10 a month, you can stream all your favorite movies. You know, those things that where they're putting stuff up there that couldn't possibly be up there. These people could all face charges in the future for illegal streaming. Now, where it does affect us, this gets into a tricky spot, but where it affects us is that we play clips on the show. We play music on our show and stuff like that. And at the moment, we get around to by, you know, there's provisions in our law, Creative Commons. There's fair usage. You know, we don't go out there and show movies on our network. We show trailers, which are commonly available, and they are used in reference for review purposes. So mm-hmm. they are within fair usage. But that doesn't mean it's going to stay that way.
Yeah.
You know? And I think the more that we start tinkering with these copyright laws, the more I get worried about it.
Mm.
Anyway, I've already had two disputes with YouTube over showing trailers in our show, and I've won both.
Yeah.
But who wants to go through that, you know? Anyway. Oh, good. This is one of my favorite stories of the week. You know, we send kids to school. There's been a lot of arguments for a long time about homeschooling, and people say you shouldn't homeschool because really the biggest thing about school is socializing. Yeah. Right? You can teach them the nuts and bolts of education, but socializing is such an important part. Well, you know, one of those parts of socializing really is about interacting in classrooms and stuff like that. Well, this article on Gizmodo is now saying that people are starting to use Twitter in the classroom to answer questions. So you no longer have to put your hand up even. You don't have to actually interact with people. People ask questions, you can just quietly tap away at your keyboard and put your answers up. I think this kind of defeats the purpose of sending them to school, don't you? I think we should like ban the use of Twitter in a classroom and basically say, you have to talk.
Yeah. No, otherwise we're just going to end up with a sea of social retards.
Yeah, I agree. So, and yes, Freak in our chat room has said, that's getting a bit stupid.
Yes. It's getting just a little bit
It's a
weird.
Little bit out there. But I will say a bit, a big power to us nerds.
Wow, what did we do right this time?
Oh, man, this is a great story. A guy lost his laptop, okay? And we've heard stories like this before, but this was a real power of the nerd, basically. Okay, guy lost his laptop. It was stolen, and he basically tweeted it out. He called the police and said, you know, he had a piece of software on there that could actually track his stolen laptop called Prey. Okay. Now, Prey was actually reporting the location of the laptop, but so he called the police and said, my laptop has been stolen, and and the police said because he hadn't filed a report, they couldn't act on it.
Right.
Right. So he immediately went on to Twitter and basically said, Twitterverse, help me out here. Right. I'm trying to find this guy. He's stolen my laptop. My accounts are on there, blah, blah. Anyway, tweets backwards and forwards and through all these various people to the point where somebody who was actually in the neighborhood of where the laptop was decided to go down and take a look.
Yeah.
Found the guy in a bar using the laptop and asked for it back. And the guy basically handed it over without a complaint or argument.
Yeah.
So over this whole thing, after this multiverse of Twitter conversations, and you can actually follow the entire tweet stream by going to this link, you can find out. Because it actually was in a completely different place. It had moved on from this guy, and he got his laptop back. And here's a Dropbox story. And we're going to give a positive Dropbox story because there's a negative one coming up. But a positive Dropbox story is that the guy had started to delete his files, but he had Dropbox and so actually even managed to get back his files.
Awesome.
Okay, so that's the good news on finding a laptop via Twitter. The bad news on Dropbox is Dropbox has always said that they don't have the key to your information. They've always said that your Dropbox is secure and only you can do it and blah, blah, blah. And then somebody had a problem and they needed to get into somebody's Dropbox and Dropbox said, yeah, here you go, and let them in. So apparently they don't have the encryption keys to your Dropbox. Oh, wait, you mean this key? Oh, yeah, we got this one. So apparently Dropbox isn't as secure. Now, it's still secure. Don't get me wrong. It hasn't been hacked. But the people who work at Dropbox do have access to your stuff on Dropbox. But I'm going to preface all of this by saying, if it's online, it's public. All right? There is no 100% security online. All right? If you're going to use any cloud service, be prepared for the fact that it's out there. All right? All right, so that's so I just thought it was funny that Dropbox has always declared that they have no access to it unless you have a badge and a gun. And if you have a badge and a gun, then you can have the other key, okay? All right, now, Josh, I wanted to bring this up with you really quickly. Apparently, this company has said, well, screw you, Apple, and your Retina display. We've got a phone that we're going to go out. And now, it's not actually a real phone yet. It's a concept. But they're going out at a full 1080p display.
What?
There it is. That's the 1080p display. And all I can think is, okay, that may be very pretty, but I think 5 inches is too big for a phone.
What the...
That's a big ass phone.
That's 7 inches.
Yeah, so it's a little bit small. It's 2 inches smaller than that.
It's a little bit smaller than that.
Okay, actually, hold on. We can. Okay, so this is what, 4, right?
That's 4.
So you're looking at something halfway between these two. No, this is 3.5, I think. Yeah. 3.5. So about somewhere.
However, I did make a phone call from this recently, just for the testing purposes of it.
Was it comfortable?
I managed to use it. It's more of a talking tablet kind of a situation.
So right. I can imagine doing Skype on that really easily. All right, so at this point, I'm going to say that the Retina display still slaps your ass because it's 326 pixels per inch in a much smaller package. This is 458 pixels per inch, but it's so much bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I can understand using 1080p on a tablet, and we actually have one of those. How about this one? This is the one I thought was really nice. Now, where is it? It's, I've lost the link. Here it is. Oh, no. Here it is. This is the one. So, on a tablet, you could get away with something like that. Here is a 2560 by 1600 pixel display, but it's on a 10-inch tablet. Now, that I can buy.
Right? Wow, that's special.
That's the new Samsung Galaxy 10-inch.
Sexy.
Yeah, it's over HD. It's beautiful.
The only problem that I have is I want another 7-inch tablet, goddammit.
It's got a pixel density of 300 dpi.
Yeah, that's fantastic, Dave. But the problem is now that I actually have one of these,
yeah,
I don't want to go back to a 10-inch.
Oh, I love my 10-inch, but I've got old eyes. I've said that before. Mm. All right, so, okay, so that's about your pixel densities. All right, I mean, that's all a bit nerdy, and we really, I just caught my eye.
Yeah.
Okay, how about this? Here is an ad. I'm going to show you an ad. I know you like Asus.
Right.
Okay? You like Asus, right?
I do. I have Asus.
Okay. They are actually going to release, or they are releasing, their brand new triple EPC.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And this is their ad campaign. Well, it's actually not really an ad. It was a promo that they put out. And I've heavily abridged this, and we're not playing the whole thing, because quite frankly, I don't think I can.
Yeah.
Okay. Now you tell me when we should stop. All right. This is a promo video that was put out to promote their new triple EPC, the Transformer one. You know, the one where the screen comes off and becomes a tablet.
Yeah.
This is how they thought would be a good way to advertise it.
Stop.
Oh no, I'm going to make you watch more.
Stop.
Guys, no, I'm going to make you watch more.
Asus has given me its latest high-tech product to try out and write about on my blog.
Laugh track at all.
I just want to see it. Why do I have to sit through all of this?
I just love sushi.
Fine. You're just jealous. I'm going to get Patty. Ugh!
I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I'm sorry. I can't do it. It goes for 3 minutes. And it's a send-up for those who are watching the video, you've noticed. But for those who are listening, it's a send-up of Big Bang Theory done really badly. Really badly.
Okay.
So I think Gizmodo summed it up best when they headlined the article that this is attached to, and you can watch the whole video on this link in our show notes.
I like
that says, "Why does Asus want us to hate its new triple E-pad?" And I just think that is a perfect title to it. It is the worst thing I've seen. It's worse than Microsoft ads, and that's got to be saying something.
Yeah, no, that's pretty odd, man, I got to say. I'm just taking a look at it now because I haven't actually seen it.
Oh, look, the actual device itself is very pretty. It's pretty. The idea is that the screen disconnects so you can use it as a netbook, or pop the screen off and it's a tablet, right? And, you know, that's fine. Although it looks like it's still stylus. Is it stylus or touch?
It's stylus, apparently. I gotta say, I'm not particularly fond of it, Dave. That is just a weird-looking tablet. Now, if we want to talk about EPC tablets, now, the actual Asus tablet that they've brought out is fantastic. i5
So why aren't they just using that tablet with an attachable keyboard?
I don't know, dude.
Wouldn't that make more sense?
Yeah. I don't work in these places. I just look at their stuff. And
oh, well. Anyway, so that is...
That was quite possibly the worst video I've
ever seen. It's horrible. It's horrible. And I do say to you, really don't go watch it. But if you feel the need to, you can. Yeah. Wired magazine is reporting that 22.2% of all U.S. broadband traffic... Mm. Are you ready for this statistic? 22.2% of all U.S. broadband traffic is Netflix.
Yeah.
That is a staggering number. And this is why the ISPs hate Netflix, because the amount of data going through. But here's the bigger statistic that I thought was really interesting. 21.6% less than Netflix. 21.6% of U.S. traffic is BitTorrent. More people are streaming movies legally now than downloading.
And you should be fucking proud of that.
Absolutely. And all I can say is, go Netflix.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. I think that is amazing. And I think it is amazing that movies are... So, I mean, we always knew movies were big business. But really, yeah, that is a staggering number. That's just staggering. All right. Forget e-ink paper. If you remember last week, we had that crushable e-ink paper. Mm. Biggest problem with that, of course, is that it's black and white and it's e-ink. Okay. How would you feel about a folding AMOLED screen?
Now we're talking.
Apparently, the new folding AMOLED, it doesn't crease, so you can actually fold it in half. They're saying this can now make much bigger tablet PCs because you'll be able to fold it and put it in your pocket. You know? So I think this is a really amazing thing. This is Samsung doing this. It's just for the over 10-inch crowd. So we're talking about the bigger tablets here. Basically, you'll be able to fit this thing in your pocket. You take the thing, you fold it in half, you slip it into your pocket, take it out, unfold it, and you're ready to go. Full color, full AMOLED. This is amazing stuff.
That's crazy.
We are getting to a very interesting place with computers, I think. They showcased the foldable OLED mobile phone in 2008 in South Korea. So this is... been in the works for some time. And we're now seeing a creaseless AMOLED display. It says it'll let you fold the tablet in half effectively, making bigger tablets pocketable, which is really, really good stuff. This would work very well if they could make that work within that super huge pixel density AMOLED. That would be kind of cool. Okay, I thought this was kind of funny just because, really? It's fictional, guys. The CDC, or the Center for Disease Control, apparently does have a protocol in place in case of zombie apocalypse.
Oh, that's so cool.
Now, before you get too excited, it is actually one of the most stupid protocols of all time and guaranteed to kill everyone on the planet. Mm. According to the CDC, it says, if zombies did start roaming the streets, CDC would conduct an investigation. Much like any other disease's outbreak, CDC would provide technical assistance to cities, states, and international partners dealing with a zombie infestation. The assistance might include consultation, lab testing, and analysis, blah, blah, blah. So nothing about going out and stopping zombies or protecting people from zombies. They just want to study them.
Well, look, you know what? I'm not particularly against that because realistically, if movies have taught me anything about how disease control end up dealing with this sort of a situation, they never get it right anyway.
That's true.
So do your little tests and I will go find a giant axe, a shotgun.
And I'll show the CDC how to take care of zombies. All right? It says, Callison says, that's okay because the CDC is run by nerds. All right. okay, now this is just wrong in every single way possible. And when I read this, I went, oh God, Delta, where did you find this link? Gizmodo is actually putting this article up. Long before 9/11 ever took place, all right, we should stress this, a brilliant NSA crypto mathematician named Bill Binney developed an algorithm to make sense of the unbelievably massive amounts of data Americans spend, right? Mm. Okay, massive amounts of data the American spies were pulling in, Now, the problem was that they put up these huge towers and they put it in cryptos on all the lines and everything, and they started to pull in all this information, and they started to realize that they were actually sucking in everything.
Yeah.
They had everybody's personal information. They had everybody's phone calls. They had everybody. This guy's algorithms literally sucked in every piece of information possible, and this is a privacy nightmare, right? And that was where it was supposed to end. He wrote other algorithms to filter out stuff, right? And basically filtered out private conversations and this and that. So, you know, they were looking for the appropriate information.
Yeah.
However, since 9/11, those filters were taken off.
Oh,
and apparently the NSA has been sucking information in like crazy. Now, the reason why this is a story is because Bill Binney has gone public and basically said, I'm really sorry that I ever wrote this algorithm.
Wow.
So I think we'll be finding Bill Binney turning up face down in a gutter somewhere at some point.
Poor guy.
But he has basically come out and said that he's very sorry that he ever wrote this algorithm. And really, it was never meant for this sort of abuse. But the Patriot Act allows him to basically just go sucking in everything. So if you live in America, suck it up, princess.
I'm sorry to hear that, though.
Yeah, I am sorry to say that this guy will be forever remembered as the spy master now, basically. And he really... It wasn't his fault.
He didn't mean it.
He didn't mean it for that purpose.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a video that I can get behind. ABC TV has a show called The Hungry Beast. I don't know if you've ever watched it. It's not my favorite show, but they did this sketch, which I actually thought was very funny. They call this the offline social network. They went out into the street, just to explain what this is, they went out into the street and basically tried to ask people the same questions that you are asked every time you set up a Facebook profile.
Yeah.
So people are more than willing to give out all their personal information on Facebook because they're not dealing with a person. What happens if you actually ask those people those questions right up front?
Yeah.
All right? This is what happens.
Do you mind if we ask you a few questions?
Just
you
sure? Questions.
1 in 3 Australians can't be wrong.
She must be a MySpace user.
First of all, what's your name, address, and phone number?
That has to be personal.
I don't want to give all that.
Don't worry, we're just going to show it to about 600 million people.
Yeah, yeah.
I'll probably pass, thanks.
My email address is that@live.com.
Great, can you confirm that?
Yeah, confirm your email address, please. That again. I just want to know what your interests are, where you went to school, your sexual orientation, gender.
What are you doing right now?
I'm drinking Coke.
Angus is currently drinking a Coke.
Can you guys give us a list of every friend you've ever had?
In alphabetical order, please.
Alphabetical order would be great.
So starting with A, obviously. Do you know any Aarons? They generally come first.
Yeah. So I put pornography under your interest then?
Boom.
I think I should.
Yeah,
pornography.
Definitely. Tag that. Tag that.
Do you guys have any photos of yourselves in your underpants, semi-naked, duck face?
No. Would you be willing to take some?
No.
Would you mind getting really shit-faced, make a total ass of yourself so we can show all of your friends and co-workers?
Everyone say, never going to get promoted.
We're just going to ask you about your sexual orientation,
gender,
your interests.
Are you a male or a female?
What are you doing right now?
Fuck off.
Welcome to the offline social network.
Enjoy that.
Enjoy that.
Update it regularly.
I'm leaving.
Could you give us a reason why you're leaving, please?
Are you not finding this useful?
Is it a privacy concern?
Other?
Before you go, can you please read out what it says on this sign?
I love the capture at the end. I think that's great.
Oh,
all right, so
great.
Yeah, I like that one guy who's going, your sex, your gender, goes, fuck off. All right. So, yes, there you go. And it's a very good point that they're making, though, which is that you are more than willing to hand over so much information to Facebook. And this is not stuff that you would tell people out in the street, but you're giving it to 500 million people.
Oh, that's fucking great.
All right, everybody, just settle down. All right. Now, I just want to say that I don't think this can be legal, Josh, period. A company in, I think it's England, called NudeHouse.com.
Okay.
They sell website software. Yeah. Okay? You wouldn't think that from their title, but they put out a job notice, and the job notice says, we need a number of nude web coders to work on preliminary web pages for customers using the toolkit of facilities we provide them. The work is totally dependent on the customers having a need, but you never meet the customers, and they will not know that you are nude. We will pay you £1,500 each month for 5 full days per week. You should be a practicing nudist.
So basically...
Apparently everybody in the office works nude.
Right.
Now, the part that really got me about this ad was not so much that they're looking for nudes. A little bit further down, it actually says women only.
Oh, right.
Ah, that's the kicker.
Now, we're sure we know what this is about.
Well, they are supplying software, apparently, but they are nudists. They work in the nude in their office. Apparently, they also have a clothed office as well, apparently. But the nude office, you have to be nude. And there are men that work there as well, but apparently they really like to hire only women. I have an issue with this. I suspect that there's something not completely kosher about this.
Oh,
and look,
awesome.
If nudehouse.com ever gets wind of our show here, please call us. Mm. We would love to get you on the show and find out what the deal is with this, because there is something, it doesn't sit well with me. Mm. There's something wrong here. Now, mind you, if it's completely kosher and there are lots of nude women working in this office, can I come and visit? That would be my next question.
That's kind of a little odd.
I just thought that was very odd, and I don't have pictures before the chat room starts asking.
I've got to say, that's the weirdest office I've ever heard
that
of in
is
my
the,
life.
That is a very weird office indeed. Now, we all know that CBS turned the Twitter stream Shit My Dad Says into a TV series, which has been canceled.
Yeah.
Okay. There is a new Twitter feed out there. Some people are actually saying they think it might be fake.
Yeah.
They think it might just be a bogus Twitter feed. That doesn't stop the fact that it's actually quite funny.
Yeah.
And they're saying, CBS, take note, you might have your next series here. Basically, the Twitter account is Old Man Search.
Yeah.
And what he did, this guy, was he convinced his father, his old man father, that Twitter was a search engine.
Oh, no way.
And so the Twitter account is all the various searches that the guy puts in. This is why people think it might be fraudulent, because they're saying the guy doesn't seem to react to the fact that he's never getting responses back. But Twitter, some of those tweets would include things like, what does email cost? Cold toes. How do you pronounce Juan? Hats, National Geographic dinosaur truth. Weather, Indianapolis, Indiana. And what is soy milk? Other tweets include Bob Barker girls. Is Rapture really Saturday? Yes! and no, Saturday, guys.
Boner pill side effects. Yes.
Boner pill side effects. yes. I think this one is actually quite funny. I don't even know if I can pronounce this. Tempur-Pedic mattress cancer.
Tempur-Pedic
Tempur-Pedic mattress cancer.
Oh, dude.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Meryl Streep oops picture. All right, so whether this account is real or not, I'm following them.
That's fucking great. That's just so stupidly wrong and funny. Oh, I love it.
James from Melbourne says, Dave wants to nude up and do some programming. Yeah, damn straight. Not if I'm surrounded by dudes, though, all right? I've got to be surrounded by the naked women. All right, let's talk about weird geek food. And this week, it's not actually about food. It's about packaging.
Right.
There was an article in Gizmodo this week, which I thought was a really interesting idea. Now, this is not real yet, but it's a really interesting idea.
Okay.
And that is the idea of using the paper e-ink displays, those ones we talked about last week, as food packaging. Now, it makes things much more expensive, and you'd have to wait till prices drop on the technology. But theoretically, you could do things like milk cartons, which actually has moving pictures, like Hogwarts or something. You know, the missing kids on milk cartons.
You could actually
have them moving. But more importantly, use by dates. One of the concepts is you could actually have two symbols on the milk bottle. So if it's within its use by date, it's got a smiley face. And if it goes off, it gets a frowny face. And then you have to look for the little date. It's right there on the side of the carton.
Wonderful. You know? This still seems like a lot of money extra just to have something on the side of my milk
carton. Thinking now. I'm thinking down the track when it costs 0.8 of a cent to create a piece of e-paper. You know?
That's true. That's true.
The biggest issues they're saying about the milk cartons, though, is still finding a way to wax the paper. So that it can hold water.
Yeah.
That's the biggest issue that they're facing at this point. And, of course, price. But that's I think that's a really interesting notion.
Could you
imagine walking into a supermarket with everything with e-ink on the shelves? Could you imagine how colorful that would be?
You imagine
things moving.
How much would that freak you out?
You'd think you were tripping. The food's talking and moving to me, man.
And stoners everywhere going, buy me. And stoners everywhere in the world start collapsing in the middle of things, just like, oh, God, it's just too much.
You put those little speakers in them that are in greeting cards. He got the ink display.
Poor dude just sitting on the floor like, oh God.
Packing a bacon with this little thing, a little talking pig on the record, like, I'm delicious.
Oh man, that's
bite my ass.
That's too much.
Oh man, I can't wait for this future. Make this future happen.
Oh, that is just bizarre and hilarious. Anyway,
Make this future happen. All right, we're gonna finish off. No, we're not. We're gonna do our geek picks of the week, and I gotta say right now that I actually don't have any IAP picks of the week because my week has been obsessed by either movies or not watching movies. I've been playing Portal 2, dude.
Yeah.
So Portal 2 is my pick of the week, and I'm going to say if you're not playing Portal 2 yet, go out and get it. It is one of the funniest games I've played in a long time. GLaDOS's dialogue this time around, her insults are champion. I think the one where she goes, and the results for that test are in, you suck. She goes, what'd you say? She says something along the lines of, it's not personal. That's just what it says.
I'm not even making this up. No, I've got to say.
A terrible person. You're a terrible person.
Dude, that game just gets better and better the more I play it. And the fact that for the second half, a little bit of a spoiler, Dave, but I think I've told you already that the second voice, when you actually get into the 1950s part of... Well, 1950s-esque style part.
Is this where we get the goo?
I'm waiting for
the goo.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff and many, many more. But when you get into the old Aperture Science building, the main voice is Jonah Jameson.
Oh, really?
And he is just...
They got J.K. Simmons in.
Yeah, J.K. Simmons. J.K. Simmons does the voice, and he is just spectacular. His dialogue is so him... but just so funny. One of my favorite lines he has is when you find the front entrance to the testing grounds, and it's got the bit where you sign in, and it's got this conversational piece where he's like, now I know what you're thinking. You're sitting there, and you're like, hey, what is this giant phone book of a contract I just signed? Well, I've got a better question. I'm going to answer your question with a question. Who wants $60? And, throughout the entire thing, his dialogue is brilliant. They've really spent a lot of time doing it, and they just did such a good job.
It's great fun. I'm only up to chapter 3 at this point. I'm going to play it again tonight, and I can't wait. So that's my pick. Josh, what have you got going?
All right. Well, look, obviously I'm still playing Brink. LA Noire is my game of the week. Have sat down and actually given it some hands-on time. Still doing some research into the whole PlayStation/Xbox killing kind of a situation, which is apparently this game is destroying consoles.
Really?
Hasn't happened to me.
How does it kill console?
I don't know. Overheating, apparently. I'm not sure how it works. I'm not sure whether it's true or not. People are saying that it's
Back to me on that before I buy it, okay?
Absolutely. Game-wise, it's amazing. Visually, very impressive, considering it's such an old engine. Because, I mean, like, this is before kind of, like, the really solid kind of engine that they've managed to build now.
LA Noire is a very nice-looking game.
Yeah. The best facial animation I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, no, Calisthenics is green. It's brilliant. It really is. But that would be my game of the week. For Android, my pick of the week is Paradise Island, which is the dumbest game I have ever played, but I just cannot stop playing it. It's like we ruled before they realized they could make it incredibly marketable. Like, you can still buy coins and buy these little things that you unlocks, but that's as far as it goes. There's no communication between other people. It's just the kind of thing you can check in on for 3 or 4 times a day and just build. And it's
I actually got kind of obsessed by another one of those types of games as well on iPad called Trade Nations, which I've been playing a little bit as well.
And look, when it doesn't involve other people, I like the kind of game. When it involves the fact that if I can incorporate every one of my friends, I can move through the game faster, it becomes a market tool. When you do it without all that, it's actually kind of a fun experience. I mean, because it's Android, it's based around just the concept of we just built this game to try and just have a pleasant experience with it. And when you take all of that out of it, I enjoy this sort of game a lot more. My other pick of the week, and I'll be writing up an article later on this week, is ADW Launcher. If you have Android, understand that there is a disclaimer on this, the same as when I was talking about putting Ubuntu on your netbook, which is understand, don't do this until you've done some research. But it is very safe. Like, it's not the kind of thing that destroys your unit or anything like that. But the whole concept is basically you put ADW launcher over the top of your standard one, it takes over the integration of your menu, and then you have the ability to customize so much deeper than what you do on the original menu system, and also change a lot of the things you can't change normally. So, yeah, I've put that over the top of it, and I've experienced with a few others, and it's kind of a cool experience. Once you move away from that, you get the ability to customize so much cleaner, and you can create a much better system. So, yeah.
Oh, cool! All right, so we'll put those those picks into our show notes as well. So if you now, I've got to just stress very quickly here because there's been some confusion. People basically say I got an email last week saying, "Oh, where can I find out more about something that you talked about, dudes?" It's in our show notes. All right,
it's always in the show
now,
notes.
Now, where you find the show notes? Just let's just clarify. We publish the episode on geekactually.com, and that is fed into iTunes. So if you only get it from iTunes, go over to geekactually.com once in a while, find the post for the episode, click on that post, and you'll see that all of the story topics, links, and everything else are always there. Mm-hmm. All right? So on everyone. And the fast way to navigate the site is that there's a little drop-down box in the sidebar that's a category search. Just category search for Geek Actually, and it'll limit it to just the episodes.
Yeah.
So that's the fastest way to do it. Okay, so that's how you find any of these links or any of these. So if you go, what was it? What was that game they recommended 2 weeks ago? Go back to 2 weeks ago's episode. Look at the show notes. You'll find what we recommended. Okay.
Absolutely.
Now I got two things to talk about while we're in picks of the week and while we're in like iOS ecosystem. I got two little things to talk about that aren't our picks but are things that Delta sent through. First of all, I want one of these. These are new iOS device holders. You know how you want to use your phone as your alarm clock, right? So you want it to like, prop up next to your bed, or you want to use your iPad as like a television device or something like that. This company has come up with these really, really old-fashioned, made out of wood cases. There's no electronics in them. They are literally just holders. And I put the thing up on screen for our audio, for our video watchers. Audio listeners can follow the link. They're just these carved boxes, basically, for putting your device into. And they are so cool because they're just raw wood. You could lacquer them or paint them or do whatever you want with them to make them. And I love the old-fashioned radio one.
Oh, I love the clock one down there.
The clock one's fantastic. I've got that app, too, that clock app. So I think these are terrific. They're not on sale yet. They'll be on sale at the end of May, of course, if the world is still here. All right. So if the world is still here, you'll be able to buy them soon. The link is in our show notes for those. They are just really cool little boxes for holding things. The other thing I wanted to talk about really quickly was we may be seeing a patent suit that could hurt the entire portable ecosystem, not just of iOS, but literally of Android and everything, if they get their way about this.
Wow.
A company, let's call a spade here and say that a patent troll has turned around and started to throw out lawsuit papers to small developers in the iOS ecosystem, saying in-app purchases violates our patent and you have to pay us a yearly fee. Now, Apple themselves have not been taken to court over this, because according to these people, Apple has paid the patent charges.
Yeah.
Now, there is thought. Apple hasn't said anything yet, and like most things, Apple will probably come out a week later after they've had their legal team comb through this.
Yeah, mutter.
But the belief is that Apple believes that them paying the patent rights on this...
Yeah.
Covers the developers.
Okay. Well, and that's
and that
kind
makes
of
sense.
Where I would
and that
lean
makes
towards
sense.
That myself. But
and this would also say to me why these patent trolls are going after all the little guys, because basically they're saying, hey, you can't defend yourself anyway. It's cheaper for you just to pay. You know?
Yeah.
I'm hoping that they're going to be squashed like a bug. All right?
I think Apple's the kind of company that would want to come down on something like
and
that.
And what they did was they made a very big mistake, because they've done this just before WWDC, which means all the developers are going to be in the room with Apple.
Yeah.
Behind closed doors with nobody talking about what they actually talked about. So these guys are going to sit on these lawsuits for a while, go to WWDC, go to Apple and say, what are we doing about this? And then Apple is going to tell them what they're going to do about it. And then WWDC is going to open its doors and they're going to go, squish, to these patent trolls. Has anybody told the patent trolls lately that Apple actually has something like $65 billion in cash in the bank, you know?
I'm sorry, but, like, seriously, they could just buy judges. And, like,
Or they could buy the patent troll. Which is probably what they're going to end up doing. We just lost. No, we didn't. That's okay.
Like, you've got to understand that these people literally are the kind of people that if you fuck with Apple, Apple will just turn around and show up with a piece of paper going, we legally own you. Not just, like, your company. Not just think, we legally bought you.
Yeah.
And now you're ours, and we're just going to kill you.
And we're going to smack your bottom over and over and over
again. It says right here, we can just legally kill you now. And the person's just going to be like, oh, crap. Yeah, no, Apple is not someone to...
I'm sorry, our chat room, I have to interrupt you for a second. Northy has said, I knew the world would end before the release of Duke Nukem Forever. Oh, dear, yes. Oh, I'm so waiting for Duke Nukem.
It's goddamn true.
All right, so anyway, I think this is just patent troll stuff. I thought we'd just cover it really quickly because it has reared its head, and we are still waiting for... this is, by the way, for those who really want to get technical, it's U.S. patent number 7,222,078. Mm. And it says in this PC World article, I bet you've never heard of that patent before. I think, you know...
I go there all the time, actually.
I think it's time for the U.S. patent system for an overhaul.
Yeah,
I really, really do think it's time for an overhaul. All right, we're going to finish
off... I think we should have fun by canceling all of them, and everybody has to rush back in to reassign them. Let's do that.
We're going to finish off today with just a little bit of... our video listeners actually caught a glimpse of this already because I accidentally hit the button. We're going to finish off... We sometimes do a little bit of history or something like that. Well, this is history brought to life, and this is just... Right. Delta sent this through, and I almost didn't put it in the show because it's so visual that our audio listeners are going to suffer. And all I can think is, if you are an audio listener, I implore you to follow the show link to this site and look at these photos, okay? A photographer by the name of Sergei Larenkov has embarked on a fascinating experiment. Mm. And what he's done is he's taken old photographs from World War II. And he's gone back to the exact place where that photograph was taken, and he's lined up the perspective, the zoom, and the framing to precision and taken a photo today of that exact same place and then used Photoshop to blend in elements of the two photos.
Oh, wow.
And they are staggering. They're not great Photoshop jobs because they're not meant to be. But what is staggering about these photos is how well he's matched the two photos together.
Wow.
Have a look. I've got four samples here. There are a lot more on the website, but these are four of the ones that really struck a chord with me. If you have a look at this one, this is just staggering. This is an archway at this old building, and he's superimposed in the tank coming through the archway.
Yeah.
It's about how hard would this have been to have lined up the shot to make that perspective and everything work perfectly. All I can think is he's probably shooting... tethered to a laptop, and he's got the original photo, and he's literally lining up to get the shots perfect. So that's one. I love this one as well. I think this one is staggering. This is the pillars and the steps, and he's got the Nazi soldiers coming down the steps, I think, which is... But look, I love the fact that the bombed out area, and it shows you how they've restored everything back.
Yeah, that's so cool.
And there's this one, which I think is very subtle, but I think that's really neat. It's actually got, like, graffiti from the day scratched into the pole and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And my favorite of the entire lot, I think, was this one, which I just think is just an amazing shot with the bombed-out building in Berlin.
Wow.
Yeah. And they've restored the building.
That's really cool work, right?
I think they are really, really neat photographs. And all I can say is, at this point... Go to the link that's in our show notes and follow his work because there are many more photographs in this series. And they will really give you an appreciation of how much work this guy has done. Not in the Photoshopping. He's just literally just blended a part of it in. It's getting the two photos to match perfectly. No. So Sergei Larenkov is his name, and the link is in our show notes, and you can follow it there. Okay, that's our show, guys. We're gonna move on. First of all, we're going to say that if you agree or disagree with anything that we have said in this show, or you have anything to add by all means, please do. You can send your feedback to feedback@geekactually.com, or you can leave a voicemail, 02801-13167. That's a Sydney number, and if you are outside of Sydney, just use the Skype ID geekactually, all one word. Now, we have a couple of friends that we'd like to shout out to. WeekendRonan.com is the home of the Real Junkies podcast. They are a movie podcast quite like none other, I think, because they like to drink a bit of tequila and they just drop their opinions out there, and they often disagree with us, but it's always good to get multiple opinions on things. RawDLC.com.
RawDLC.com is a gaming website. Go over and check it out. We've got a bunch of new videos up. We've finally got the Brink video up, which we dropped last week. We've got new episodes coming up. We have had the video show just take about a week off because I'm going to be putting them all together next week after I move house. But apart from that, that's about it.
Fair enough. We also have some very good news. I got an email this week.
Hurrah.
Brad and Charlie are back.
Are back.
Reboundradio.com is the new home of what was formerly the Movie Fan House. Their podcast is not back up yet, but the website is active and really active. They've got a lot of friends helping write for them and stuff like that, and there's a lot of reviews and stuff. Go check it out, reboundradio.com. Their new podcast will be up soon, and we're going to get them on our show at some point to help launch them off. Okay?
Wicked.
Find out more about our cartoonist, Josh Spencer. He does all of our custom art, such as this one that you can see on my jumper right there, or on my mug. See, I'm just a merchandise king here. You can use mugs like this, or get jumpers like this, or t-shirts like this by going to cafepress.com.au/geekactually. And all the artwork, of course, is done by Josh Spencer, who's at attackninja.blogspot.com. Quite frankly, still the best domain name in existence. And I think that's it, except for two quick points. First of all, we do this show live, so if you're only listening to the audio podcast, join us every Saturday, Australian Eastern Standard Time, around 12 p.m. We actually started at only 10 past there. It's just not right. around 12 p.m. every Saturday, we do Geek Actually, followed by the Film Actually show. We have a live chat room, and you can now watch it on Facebook if you want to.
Which we tested out.
We tested, and it is working. Although the chat room is, I'm still working on it. It's still a work in progress, but the video is actually happening there. All you have to do is go to our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/geekactually, and there is a button in the sidebar that just says Ustream. Click that sidebar, and it takes you to the Ustream live page. And you can now watch us live, all right, on Facebook. If you're one of those people who never leaves Facebook, there you go. Now you can never leave Facebook, all right? And you can still enjoy our show. And the second thing I was going to mention was all of our various stuff. Links, our merchandise, our Twitter accounts, all that stuff. Just go to geekactually.com. There's a follow us link on the side page. Hit that button. It gives you a full list of links. All right. That's it. We're done. I think we have nothing else to add to this messy ending. Are we done? We are done.
I'm done.
And once again, a reminder. It is the 21st of May today. This is episode 132 for the 21st of May. In approximately 4.5 hours, it is supposed to be the end of the world.
Yeah.
If you are listening to this audio podcast, we are still here. Okay.
And our show will be called the same thing.
And we're going to get out of here. We're going to steal Delta Knight's sign off because I like it so much. And we're going to say geek on, everybody. Thank you very much, Josh, for joining me again. And good luck with your moving this week. We'll report back on that next week.
If we're still here.
We're still here. We're going to be here. Trust me, we're going to be here. All right, guys. See you all next week. Oh, we've got no sound. What's going on with our sound? We will just pause that for a minute and say, what the hell's going on with our sound?
We'll be right back.
No, we're still here. We're still live. But why do we have no sound? Why is there no sound? Sound, dude. Dude. Oh, wait. I know why we have no sound. Ha, we didn't test the soundboard before we started the show, did we?
But you almost forgot to even turn it on. So.
That's true. So how about this? Now we're going to say geek on, everybody. No, we're not going to say geek. No, this time it's actually...
Please leave this in. This is awesome.
This is... Wow, what's happened? We lost our closing music. That's why. What a shame. Do you know what we're going to do right here? We're just going to run the credits. We're just going to run the credits. And we'll just talk over the credits. What do you
think? Yeah, so... How about Dude. Them local sports teams?
How about them Bears? Huh?
No, we should finish off news style with us just being like,
yeah.
But
not normally
saying anything, just like.
No. You want to do it really right? We do a freeze frame. Wow, that's embarrassing. We don't have any music. That's embarrassing. I think I just fixed it. It's too late now, of course. But I think there it is. See, I fixed it. We'll be right back.